Good morning. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us as we continue our study together today. And we're going to be in several different places as we look at how we should behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. But first of all, we've had to determine what it was, what the house of the Lord is. So as we've progressed on through this, we continue to look at these scriptures together, and we were down to the 2 Corinthians. So if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians, we'll look there in the 6th chapter when we begin this morning. I do thank you for being here. Thank you for all those who are listening in by the way of internet. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us through another week and giving us an opportunity to be here today to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, we, so many times, this opportunity that you and I have today, we take so for granted. And we never know when the situation might bring it to the point that we're not able to do what you and I are doing this morning. And we have a lot that listen daily through the means of the internet who would have a great desire to be in a service like you and I are today, and be blessed as we assemble together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, before we begin, we ask to bow in prayer, and then we'll continue to look at our subject of the day together. Lord, again, thank you. Lord, we're so blessed. Lord, we're blessed to live in the United States of America that you've seen fit that we would be born therein. But Lord, we are so blessed to live in a country that we know has over the years been used to spread your precious gospel. And though, Lord, we seem to be drifting so far away from it today, and Lord, we thank you for your patience, for your grace and your mercy and your love. Lord, we know without it you'd already distinguished us as far as we've gone from you as a people, as a nation. So Lord, we'd ask we might again bring our focus on you and realize from whence all our blessings come. But Lord, we'd also ask you today that we'd examine ourselves and examine not only ourselves, but examine ourselves as a group of believers who have assembled together in a place that we call Benson Grove Baptist Church. And Lord, we are so thankful for our church and those, each and every member of it, those who are so faithful. And Lord, we ask now that as we open your word today, that we would use your word to examine our hearts as individuals. And Lord, show us our shortfalls. Show us those things that we need to change in our lives to be more in tune with your will and your way. Bless as only you can. Again, Lord, for those who have been mentioned who have special needs today, we'll lift those up before you. And Lord, I especially lift my wife Frances before you today and ask that you would bless. Again, Lord, watch over us and care for us. Walk us through your precious word today with your precious Holy Spirit. Because if any good comes out of this day, it'll be because of what you do. Again, thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love. with a saving grace for an opportunity to be your child. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Now, we started this off in 1 Timothy, and we started off in the third chapter, and we looked at verse number 14 and 15, and that's what I want to read to you again this morning. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and ground of truth. I want you to think on this verse again. Think on what we've just been told in this particular verse. Now, he says, we're to behave ourselves in the house of the Lord. And then we said, well, what is the house of the Lord? Now, if we look at the rest of this phrase, it says, which is the church. And it says, the church of who? The church of the living God. And then it says, the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. I want to think on those things now, today, as we continue to look. Now, the only way that you're ever going to be, or I am ever going to be, in a situation to be the house of God is because we've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Step number one. And we talked about that somewhat last Sunday. And then we got to the point that we began to talk about the temple of God. You and I. Your body, my body, the temple of God. So go with me now to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I want you to look with me. We touched on this because I got to talk about the crazy old mules at home when I was growing up. He says, now remember that we have just looked prior to this that in Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians, it says, our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, know ye that ye are the temple of God. Now that is talking about you and I in the physical body that we live in. So that means that according to God's word, this body that we live in is a temple of God. Now, in that body, or this body that you and I live in, it is also a lodging place for the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost of God. And because of that, we have the ability to conduct ourselves as we ought to in the house of God, because you and I, this body, is the house of God. We're not talking about this building. We're talking about the house of God, the church of God. Now let's talk about what makes up that church. Now, let's go back with me. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians, and let's continue this now as we go. He says, now because the Lord saved you, and because you are the temple of God, and because that's the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, then it draws us to be separated from the world. So he says, don't be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with the darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Notice that statement. When we look at that particular statement and we think about you and I in our body as being the temple of God, the Holy Spirit indwelling there in that temple. Now let me ask you a question. He says, now, according to God's word, there's no place in that temple for idols. And I bet you every one of us has got one. You let that soak in for just a moment. Has something that we desire to do, something that we like to do, something that we love to do, has it kept us from coming to church sometime? Has it kept us from participating in the work of the Lord? Has it caused you to say, well, I don't have enough time. I'm too busy doing what I've got to do. But in the process of being so busy and don't have time to serve the Lord, are you serving those pleasures outside of your workforce? Are you doing those things and leaving the work of the Lord out? And not doing it. See, idols come in a lot of forms. And he says, we are the temple of the Lord. And we're all guilty sometimes of making an excuse not to come to church and participate. You've done it and I've done it, and don't tell me you've not. Remember where you're sitting this morning. You're sitting in the sanctuary of the Lord. You know, what we need to do a lot of times is just confess up who we are and our shortfalls as a child of his. But here, he says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple. Ye are the temple. Now notice this. Of what? Of the living God. As God hath said. As God hath said. Now, you're not looking at, you're not listening to something this morning. I'm saying we're reading God's word. And God's word just told me that you and I are the temple of the Lord, the living God. Then look at what he says next. He says, I will dwell in them. I will dwell in them. But now look at the next statement. And do what? And walk in them. I sure am glad that as his child, as the temple of the living God, the indwelling Holy Spirit guides my footsteps and keeps me from doing a lot of things and going a lot of places that I would have gone had it not been for the indwelling Spirit. He said he walks in them, and he says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith who? Now, he just didn't say God. He says what? The Lord Almighty. And when he's in charge, There is nobody greater than He is. And aren't we glad that there's nobody greater than He is. And He can direct our paths, direct our footsteps as His child as we walk this life daily. Now we're going to look at Romans for just a moment. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here. And as we look at Romans in the sixth chapter, well, these sixes must be important, haven't they? Well, I reckon 666, man number, so he's talking to man. Now, in Romans, the sixth chapter, and if we look at verse number 16, now, in these verses we're fixing to read, I want you to pay attention to some little words, you know, like to and of. He says, know ye not that to whom? So there's a to. You yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are, to whom you obey. Now, you and I are not puppets on a string. This body is the temple of the Lord. The Holy Spirit's indwelling in this body. But at the same time, we are still in a physical body with a physical nature, an old physical man that's totally contrary from God and the will of God in your life. There is not one thing in me this morning, in this old physical nature of mine, old physical man in me, that wants to do anything for the Lord. That I do for the Lord is done through the work and the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells in me. And without that, we'd be in trouble sure enough. So, he says now, yield yourself service. You still have that ability, whether of there's all again of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse number 17 starts with the word what? But. Pay attention. But I'm fixing to tell you something. But God be thanked that ye were. What tense is that? We got a past tense. That's what you were before the Lord got hold of you and cleaned you down. He says you were the servants of sin, but, there's the but again, ye have done what? You've obeyed, and you've obeyed from where? From the heart. It's not a mind thing, it's a heart thing. You have obeyed from the heart. And what have you obeyed? That form, and there's the word of again, of doctrine, which we delivered unto you. Somebody delivered the gospel to you. Somebody delivered the gospel to me. And I believed in that gospel message that the Lord used for that person to deliver it to me. Thank the Lord for those people who have delivered the gospel. And we are blessed in the United States of America to be able to come and do what we are doing today and not have to worry about somebody coming in, per se. It's sure a lot different than it used to. We didn't have to have security at the church and cameras at the church. But we're still blessed, folks, to be able to do what we're doing today. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made. Now, you look at that little word, that verse. There's a word in that verse. Then being made. Who do you think made you? You sure didn't do any of it. It's the grace of God that made you what you are today as a child of His. He says, so then being made, and you was made what? Free. I've got that one. Not only have I got that in the underline, I got a circle drawn around that one. The devil might give me a hard time from day to day, but he's not in control because I'm free of him. He might be on my back today, but one of these days, I'm going to be in a place he can't come close to me. And one of these days, I'm going to watch him bow on his knee before my Lord and Savior. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day. He said, you've been made free from what? From sin. And you became servants of what? Of righteousness, of right living. Of right living. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmities. There's that of again and of again and of again. Infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness and unto holiness. Now, I want you to notice in this verse something that he says. Now, when we started off in verse number 16, he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Now, who has the ability to yield? See, I go back and say that again. You're not a puppet on the string. He did not take away your ability of yielding. You and I today and tomorrow, and if we live the next day, we have the ability to yield to Satan. And we have the ability to yield to those things of Christ. We still have that ability. But what does he say? He says, yield your members, servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Now, look at the next verse. And what does it say? What? Next word. Fruit. Well, what's fruit? When you look at a tree, if you look at a peach tree or apple tree, what are you looking for? You're looking for fruit. And that fruit that's on that tree is what that tree has yielded. But what if it's not in the right conditions or the right place or under the right circumstance? What about when the blossoms are popping out on that tree? And we have a real hard, cold, frosty spell. And what happens to the fruits on that tree? And see what Satan wants to do. He wants to bring a cold, hard spell in our walk, in our Christian life. And he wants to kill our fruits and our work and our desires for the Lord. He wants to do anything to distract us so that we don't produce the fruit that he'd have us to produce as a child of his. Satan don't want us to be used for anything of God. What he'd love to do is destroy every single solitary one of us along with Christ. But he says now, be careful. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now what? Ashamed. For the end of those things is what? Is death. Here's the word but again. But now being made what? Free from sin and become what? Servants. Next word. to God. To God. We are servants to God. You have your fruit unto wholeness, and the end, everlasting life. What are we all looking forward to? And we have an opportunity to produce fruit for Him now. But one of these days, we're going to be in His presence for eternity. We already have everlasting life. But we'll have that everlasting life in His presence. And we don't have to worry about, again, Satan and his aggravateness. He said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, there's a wage that's going to be paid for every individual that's ever been born. And if they don't know Christ, that wage of sin is not just physical death, that wage of sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God Almighty in hell. Period. He said, but there's a gift. And there's a gift of God. And it's eternal life. And it only comes one way. And how does it come? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there is no other way. Now, flip over with me, we were to 2 Thessalonians in chapter number 2. We'll go to verse number 15. Now, if you and I have been saved by the marvelous grace of God, if you and I have the precious Holy Spirit that's indwelled in us, and you and I are supposed to be producing the fruits of righteousness, then it's time for us to do something. He says, therefore, brethren, that's you and I, brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, therefore, brethren, do what? Stand what? Anchor in. He says, stand fast and hold the traditions. I want you to notice that word, traditions. You know, someone's always talking about traditions. In case you didn't know it, let me tell you something this morning. There's some traditions that you better not mess with. There's some traditions that we follow that we better continue to follow. There are traditions that this church, Benson Grove Baptist Church, has followed 100 years. And there are some traditions that you don't mess with. And we've got to be very careful about our traditions. If you don't, it can destroy your church. Just like you and just like me, if we're not careful. Now watch what it says here. He says, hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Okay? What are you trusting in this morning? What are you believing in this morning? Who are you believing in this morning? Why do you believe what you believe this morning? I have been taught and led by the precious Holy Spirit of God through His Word. This don't change. This don't change. And the problem is now, we've got churches all over the country that say assemblies. Let me put it that way. Church assemblies all over the country today. Oh, don't talk about the blood and don't talk about hell. God's love. He loves everybody. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything is not hunky-dory. And everything you want to do and everything I want to do and everything the world wants to do is not pleasing to God. Sin. We'll see something in just a moment as we continue to go through this lesson. But it says you better hold those traditions which you've been taught, whether by what? By word or our epistle. What is this? This is the Word. This is the Word of God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world thinks about me. This is the Word of God. And what this Word says is what I better believe and follow. And I better follow its traditions. And if we're not careful, Satan will sprinkle some of his mess in to get your mind off traditions. It is now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through what? Through grace. His marvelous love comforts you what? Heart. And do what? And establish you. Now I want you to notice in this particular verse what comes first. He says, comforts you what? Your heart. Don't make any difference what we find ourselves in and what position in life we find ourselves in. You can always find comfort for your heart in the Lord, because He's always present in the form of the Holy Spirit. And He'll whisper, I've got it under control. You might think everything's come unglued and flying all to pieces, and that may be a hard, bumpy road, but I'm in charge. I know you need, and I know where you are. I'm able to meet that need. So let me comfort your heart. Your body might hurt, but let me comfort your heart. Know that I'm present. Know that I'm your source of strength. Know that I'm your go-to every moment of every day. He said, comfort your heart. And establish you. And establish you in what? In every good word and what? And good work. If you and I do anything for His glory, it's going to be through Him and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Peter, chapter number 1, I thought I might get closer to finishing this today than I am, but I'm long-winded, apparently. In 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse number 14, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust, the former lust, in your what? You know, sometimes I look at myself and think I'm pretty stupid now, but boy, before the Lord saved me, according to His word, I was real stupid. Real stupid. And I bet you that all of us can look back at our lives and look at some things that we did before we were saved and say, boy, you sure didn't have a lick of sense. And you know something? If the Lord hadn't have been looking after us, even when we didn't love Him, He said He first loved us. If He hadn't been looking after us and taking care of us, we'd have never got to that day that we yielded ourselves to Him. But we'd have been dead or something. Ain't no telling what would have happened to us. But what was he doing? Even when we didn't care nothing about him, didn't want to hear nothing about him, he was following us to that day and looking after us until that day when the Holy Spirit would tap on the door of our heart and say, boy, it's time for you to quit being stupid and ignorant. And it's time to listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Because you don't want to go to hell, and I'm available to keep you from it. He said, be obedient, not ignorant. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Conversations. In all manner of conversations, be ye holy. Because it is written, what? Because it is written. What are we reading this morning? We're reading God's Word, and it's written in God's Word, and it tells us how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. And this body that you and I live in is the house of God. And we ought to learn how to behave ourselves in it and be obedient in it. And he says, because it's written, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And if you call on the Father who without respect of person, don't make any difference who you are. To him you're a person that was lost and going to hell and needed salvation, and he saved you. He says, have no respect of person. He says, without respect of person, judging according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here is fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversations received, by what? There are traditions again. What's our condition as a natural man? Our condition is those vain conversations. And we received them from our father, born in sin. Number 19, the word but. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for what? For you and for me. Who by him do believe in who? In God, who by him, Jesus Christ, we believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith, notice, your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your what? Soul. You purified your soul in obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit. The purifying of the soul comes, and it comes by obeying, and it comes by obeying the truth, and it comes through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. You don't really know whether you love Christ or not. Do you love your brother and sister in Christ? And I got my time to go on. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the what? By the word of God. Which does what? Which liveth and abideth forever, and it lives in us. For all flesh is of the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass, and grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away, but, what? But the word of the Lord endureth how long? You can trust him today. You can trust him tomorrow like you trusted him yesterday. He's there eternally, forever. And this is the word by the gospel is preached to you. Thank the Lord for his gospel. We thank him for an opportunity to be with you today. God bless you.